What show do you do?
It's called Polycast.
On the internet, is it?
Hello again.
Hello?
Hello. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Costas.
Hi, Maki.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Welcome to episode 19 of Polycast, the official podcast of a Polton Civilization site, as we continue our discussion on much information on the next Civilization IV expansion, Beyond the Sword, started in episode 18. We had Dale for episode 18 as a first-time guest co-host. We now have Costas, who goes by Keijan, and he is a returning guest co-host.
Hello, everyone.
What's that? Returning? I suckered you into this? What?
I supposed to have been the previous one.
Well, now that you've brought it up.
He didn't want to get up early either.
So I sent a message to Dan and said, confuse the time, what time do we start? And he said, 3 hours ago. Oh, okay. Let's go to the next episode.
And also joined by Wouter.
Woo!
There's no guest locutus on the forums. And Makalua, who prefers to go by Mackie.
And who is now awake this time.
Continuing our discussion on Beyond the Sword, because apparently nothing else matters anymore.
At least in Civ World, nothing else matters anymore.
Is there any other world?
I hear about this real life thing.
What's that?
I don't know. Need some new game.
So which Beyond the Sword remaining topic did we want to cover first? I suppose we could ask our guest co-host.
Me?
Is there another guest co-host that I don't know about?
Red, no.
Oh, I'm sorry. An awkward silence is joining us.
Just when
yeah,
I
you still we'd... suck.
Just when we thought we'd get rid of him.
Corporations appear just in the Middle Ages, just as religions have been sorted out and you don't have any more religions to found. Corporations keep up the pressure to be the technology leader because the first one to bear technologies founds corporations, which give you benefits in your city and cash in your headquarters. And this is going to be a nice addition because it enables players to make good use of duplicate late game resources that were just sitting there otherwise.
I've been watching a screenshot from IGN about corporations. Have you seen any? Particularly the one creative, you open and it says creative constructions.
Yeah.
Have you interpreted?
Interpreted it?
It has some icons like the religions. I guess it's the seven corporations.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Because there are some screenshots where it's a similar interface to where it shows all the religions, where the religion has the holy city and when it was founded. The corporations will also show you the name of the corporation, where it was founded, and what year.
Well, we know a few of the names. Sid Sushi Company.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Civilized Jewelers. Cereal Mills. Oh, wait, who could they be thinking of with that name?
Does this mean Sid likes sushi or something?
Could be the scoop of the year.
I saw Mining Inc. as well somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Creative Constructions.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Standard Ethanol. We already knew it worked. It was going to work similar to something like religions. But now they're giving us specifics like you're going to like to do the cereal mills company. You're going to have a, what is it, corn or wheat or rice. Accessed by that city, not just by your civilization. So a city that has some things can't necessarily found certain corporations.
Exactly, and when you found a corporation, that city loses access to that resource, because the corporation has taken it over.
Yeah, so if your wheat tile is what's keeping your city growing, you might not want to put the corporation there.
It makes it a bit more complex, so you have to think about it pretty hard and see if you really want it.
Well, if you have a lot of unhappiness in the city, maybe... Maybe the starvation would help.
Yeah, but you'll see people where they might ignore food resources. Now they might go for them more, especially try to get two or more in one city so they can do those corporations.
So what's the drawback of exactly the drawback of using corporations, Dan?
Each corporation consumes the resources it needs and has an additional support cost that must be paid by the city that houses it. I believe we saw that before. But these costs can also vary depending upon your economic civics, as noted in the IGN hands-on preview. But that's not surprising, because we've talked before about how mercantilism can block foreign corporations and state property can block, well, all of them.
Can you establish the headquarters to another civilization city?
You can definitely establish branches. Headquarters doesn't seem likely. I guess it might be possible. You need a great person for those, not a like a missionary type unit.
Yeah, yeah.
So are we also going to have a great executive like they have the great spy?
Well, we haven't heard anything of it.
Hmm. No, you use the ordinary great peoples, like engineer.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. That great merchant for cereal mills and Tsutsushi, a great scientist for standard ethanol and aluminum ink, and a great artist for civilized jewelers and great engineer for creative constructions and mining ink. So yeah, you need different types of great people to found corporations.
Yeah, and the executives are like your missionaries for religion. And you can only have a maximum of three as well. Gosh darn it.
What? Aww. Aww. I wanted to corporately dominate the whole world. Dang it.
Well, you can still do so, only slowly.
World builder and... Oh, no, wait.
No, not the Dan strategy.
And another interesting bit is that some corporations have the same resources as what they require or what they can require. And if they have the same, they can't share the same city. For example, cereal mills requires, what is it, wheat, corn, or rice. And Tsutsushi requires basically the sea resources, so crabs, clams, or fish, or rice also, which means that you can have either cereal mills or Tsutsushi in a city, but not both.
How did the heads of those corporations ever get out of kindergarten? You have to learn to share.
Sure.
Yeah.
Ever heard about Monopoly?
We saw that, at least with Mining Inc., additional information from the screenshot, plus two culture, plus one great engineer points, and I believe plus four gold per turn per city, but I'm assuming that's with the branch?
Yeah, of course. It works the same as Holy City.
Okay. And the corporation's icon in the main game interface is a briefcase. Surprise.
They start up after you have research corporations.
Yeah, corporations and one other tech that varies per great person. I think mass media is required for civilized jurors or something like that. I thought mass media enabled one, but I don't remember which. So, yeah.
Civilized jewels requires mass media. And Tsutsushi requires medicine.
Oh, okay. And it costs an initial maintenance cost. So those are the... One of the features of aluminum ink is that it turns coal into aluminum.
So what do you think about corporates? Do you find it an interesting aspect of the game, of the expansion?
I certainly do. I think it's an excellent addition. As Alex Manzera said in the Beyond the Sword-centric podcast that Firaxis released, corporations appear just in the Middle Ages, just as religions have been sorted out and you don't have any more religions to found.
They succeed religions.
Yeah.
In a way.
In a way.
Basically late-game religions, yeah.
He also says this is going to be a nice addition because it enabled players to make good use of duplicate late-game resources that were just sitting there otherwise. And indeed, if you're not able to trade them away, or you don't want to give them away, or everyone has it, they're just kind of sitting there doing not much of anything for you, except backup. It's always good to have a backup.
Yeah, that's true. It's definitely an interesting way to reuse some of the existing resources. And it's a great way to make a lot of money. There's the 4 gold per city. That can really add up. The only downside is they do come fairly late in the game, so I don't think they'll ever have a huge impact on the eventual outcome of the game. Maybe if it's really close, but quite often it's already clear who's going to win at that point.
But the maintenance cost, if it's problematic at the start in the short term, hopefully in the long term, if you play your cards right, if you found a corporation and then you are being diligent in sending out your executives like you are with missionaries once you found a religion, it will definitely pay for itself in the long run.
Establish branches.
Yes, branches, yeah. Yes.
I think I agree.
And the interesting part that was also pointed out, you can found branches in foreign corporations, and that means that they pay the maintenance, and you just get the benefits. That'll make for some interesting late-game dynamics, I think.
Let me spam corporations in the Europe Empire and bring your economy down.
Yep.
And so anyone that would say, well, that doesn't sound very balanced, well, then that ties right into adopt mercantilism then. Or state properly if you want to get rid of all of them.
Yep.
So as you said, that creates some interesting late-game situation. It doesn't seem overpowering, and although it does appear in the late game, as Wetter said, it's probably not going to decide the game. You don't want to ignore it, but at the same time, it's not a game-breaker or a game-stopper.
Well, you never know. If two players are pretty close, maybe establishing corporation can give an edge and win the game. You never know.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I think there was one corporation, I'm not sure which one, but I assume Standard Ethanol, which in turn for a food resource to give you oil. And of course, if you don't have oil in the late game, you're pretty screwed. So in that case, a corporation might actually save your life. So yeah, I mean, I guess in that case it is pretty useful. But other than that, I see it more as a flavor thing than as something that has a huge influence on the game.
Well, it is introduced for the first time, so I guess maybe in the next C5 it has more role to do in the game, greater influence. Yeah, it's the first time they introduce it.
Yes, if you're going to have a C5, please don't announce it anytime soon, because you know we're having a hard enough time keeping up as it is.
Yeah.
I think we haven't mentioned something that each corporation can be built only once by one civilization.
Although I suppose if you want that corporation, you can just go take it.
I really can't see anyone going to war over something like Sid Sushi Company.
No, not that one, but...
Selling sushi to everyone to the death. Yeah.
Yeah, but the one corporation or whichever one that was that exchanged for food will give you oil. That might be one to go for. If you're wanting for it and you find that it's found it, you better move while you still have an edge, possibly, if it's not too late by then.
I agree. How many corporations are in?
Is there seven?
Seven. Like religions. Seven.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Next.
Next.
Colonies.
From the CFC chat back on June 15th with colonies, one person asked, is there going to be any concepts similar to Civilization 2 where capturing the capital of a civ could result in a civil war and splitting of the civ and creating a new one? And Alex informed us, well, there will be civilization splits, but they will be voluntary. And how do colonies become independent? Overseas colonies cost go to maintain, so you might improve your economy by giving them independence, or if you treat them poorly, they might declare independence. If you declare some of your overseas cities as a colony, they become a friendly vassal for you. And again, depending upon how you treat them, will determine how much longer they will remain your vassal and just how positively they look at you. And they can certainly go 180 degrees from their start and end up hating your guts. But it definitely brings an additional dynamic in terms of, well, I've kind of run out of room on this continent. Everyone else seems to have more cities, more territory, more everything than I do. There's a nice chunk of land over there. I think I'll expand. And in addition to the maintenance cost considerations that you have for cities anyway, which helps prevent, of course, the good old infinite city sprawl, which everyone misses, obviously. Now here's another consideration to kind of check your imperialistic motives.
Well, I see it mostly as something keep the amount of micromanagement in a late game down. If you create a vessel and you keep him as a friend, which shouldn't be too hard to do, then you don't have to manage all that many cities. And rather a loyal vessel than 20 more cities to have to manage.
You save some gold, too.
Yep.
Yes.
While maintaining the resources.
Exactly. And you keep most of the benefits. Obviously, you can't control what is being built in the cities, but you usually only need a handful of good production cities anyway.
And there also seemed to be some confusion by at least one person in the CFC chat that Civil Wars was a feature related to the colonies. But no, while you can split off a civ as a colony, and then your colony in turn can become, well, with the vassal towards you, there are no civil wars in Beyond the Sword. Aww. Next time.
Maybe not.
I was brave. During our break between episode 18 and 19 recording, I actually went outside.
Ooh-hoo.
There's something called the sun? It was amazing.
Is that what that light coming through my windows is?
The new technologies, which are mostly later game, but I believe they said there was one in Renaissance era and one in medieval or something like that, but mostly in the late game and not really that many.
Not many, huh?
I think there's one relatively early, it's aesthetics, which fills the gap between writing, literature and drama, and somewhat later is military science, which leads up from chemistry and enables a few new promotions, so that's quite interesting. I don't think we know what aesthetics does, so that's kind of odd. But
yeah, we've heard aesthetics in relation to the new civilizations and some of the unique buildings.
Wonders. The statue of Zeus requires, I think, aesthetics.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, yes. The Shwedagon Paya, built after the discovery of meditation and aesthetics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And all the other technologies appear much later in the game. We have advanced flight, between flight and stealth, and it allows you to build gunships and jet fighters, and it also obsoletes the stable, but that kind of makes sense because of our gunships are the successor to cavalry. There's also a new stealth technology at the very end of the tree, and it allows you to build all the stealth units in the game, since there's a new stealth destroyer that we saw and the existing stealth units. Laser and superconductor, are those new? Doesn't strike me as new, but maybe I'm wrong.
Don't think so.
Well, laser allows for the construction of mobile SAMs and mobile artillery, and superconductor for laboratories and certain spaceship parts. Doesn't strike me as anything new, but I could be wrong.
Actually, it looks like superconductor and laser are new.
Okay. I guess maybe they were in Civ 3 or in Civ 2 or something.
Yes.
Superconductor was definitely in there. I don't know about laser, though.
Yeah, we're thinking earlier Civ titles. We're showing our age.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I remember back in Civ 1, we could build railroads across the ocean, you know.
Civ 1.
Yep.
Never played it.
What?
Never.
Shame on you.
No. Just going over my notes, you're finding a good place to start, but someone else feel free to jump in.
No, thanks.
There's kind of a segue, if we're done with technologies, which I think we are we?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of leads into the random events. Forget which article pointed out that there were random events in the original Civ,
although
not as extensive as this, and I really don't remember them that much, so.
There were. There's an earthquake and a volcano and a flood, and it would destroy buildings and stuff.
They existed, but they were pretty minor. Yeah.
Civilization 3 had events also.
Yes, with lovely volcano and erupting and destroying your city. Yeah, I really love that.
I believe there's a quote in the CFC chat about that being unfun, so that's why they didn't make it to destroy cities.
I'm not quite Dan, but in that case, I reload as well.
You and me both.
In the GameSpy preview, the writer refers to this as like the random stuff that happens in a SimCity game. I think it's a bit more involved.
Yeah.
I think the comparison to Galactic Civilizations 2 is a little better.
Probably, yeah.
But it comes up much more frequently in Beyond the Sword. As I mentioned in episode 18, more than 150 random events. Wow.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
That's many.
It is.
Are we positive about that? I read there was 150, but maybe some are related. Maybe it's the same event with...
They're pretty unique, I think, because I've, of course, been playing this game for a while, and if I look at all these screenshots, there's quite a few events in there that I've never had yet, so there's really a lot of events in the game, I can tell you that. Of course, some of the events were added fairly recently, probably, and I've been playing for a year, so part of it is that, but there's just a lot of events, and you're not going to encounter all of them in one or two games. You'll have to be playing a while before you've seen them all.
That won't be a problem, huh?
No, probably not. Not for anyone who's listening to this.
Okay, well, reading GameSpy here, it says, an early random event might challenge you to become the first civilization to construct libraries in 7 cities. If you do so, you will be given a reward. Don't know what the reward is, anyway.
The classic literature quest.
That's indeed a quest and not an event. All these events have basically an instant effect. You have the fugitive one, you instantly get plus 500 espionage points. Quest, you actually have to go out and do something. There's a couple of those as well, but they're much rarer than events.
Is in the same system.
It's the same system, but it's not instant. All the events, you get an instant bonus or an instant malus. And in quest, you actually have to go out and do something, and when you've met a certain goal, then you get a reward.
That's a pretty interesting aspect.
Yeah, definitely. I really like these quests.
Yeah, I believe it was John Schaefer who mentioned that it was one of his favorite additions, if not the favorite in the CFC chat, was the addition of quests. The classic literature one, summarize, is that your scholars are looking to collect, record, and preserve all of your oral traditions and unwritten literature, so you need to build 7 libraries in your various cities. There's an additional reward option if you control the Great Library, if and when the quest is successfully completed. But if you fail this quest, that will happen if a rival civilization completes it first, or if you reach the Renaissance era without having met the conditions. The Master Blacksmith quest. The Master Blacksmith in a particular city has offered to take on and train multiple apprentices if the government will build new forges for them to operate once their training has been completed. So you are being asked to build enough forges, and again, the number is 7 in your various cities, as shown in the screenshot. This can include forges already completed, so by the time you get that, you might already be well on your way. The Master Smith is a religious man, so an additional reward option will be available if your civilization has a state religion, if and when the quest is completed successfully, and I would think that would be most, if not almost everybody. And you will, again, fail this quest if a rival civilization completes it first, or if you reach the Renaissance era without having met the conditions.
Yep, and yet another quest called Greed. It says, our generals covered a source of iron that lies within the Incan borders. Without it, we cannot properly train and equip our troops. And then you're tasked to conquer the territory around which that resource is located, so to conquer the resource, and then you get a bonus as well.
The only other quest I saw mentioned in passing was on your main interface. This was something that someone else had completed, so it was just announcing it. This civ, their cities have built enough coliseums to complete the National Sports League quest and strengthening their social fabric and their national identity.
Some of them are similar, but the military quests have to conquer iron. That's something completely different.
As someone pointed out in the CFC thread, a lot of people, I think, will read these articles, and some people will download the videos. Some people will look at the screenshots as well, but if you look closely, a lot of the screenshots, especially the GameSpot one, pretty well profiles any one of the, as you said, roughly 150 random events in the game. Generally speaking, some of them are quite passive. You were just informed that something has happened, and it's just kind of like, well, okay then. We're going to go with the flow.
We've also seen that you can get a golden age through events, so get more golden ages probably.
Oh, yes. A brave and hardy soldier has run over 26 miles on foot to warn of the invasion. This heroic deed has inspired our entire army. Start a golden age.
Yeah, that's interesting. There seem to be a lot of different events.
More than 150.
Yep.
Our engineers have conceived a national highway system of divided highways free of all traffic stops built in straight lines on smooth grades. Construction will begin as soon as plans are finalized. That's your option, and you click on it, and you end up with plus one road movement.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very simple event, as simple as they come.
Yep, they get a bit more complicated where you have two or more options, such as vermin have gotten into the greenery in a particular city. All the food stored there is spoiled. Your options are, that sounds like bad news, but what can we do? Nothing. Oh, that's pretty harsh. Or you can pay to have the lost grain replaced, and in the screenshot shown, that costs a person 21 gold.
Another random event will give you a choice as how to respond. For instance, you might capture a fugitive fleeing from another country. You can return him to his country to face justice, which can earn you bonus points with that country, but it might upset another country. Or you can interrogate the fugitive for information about his country, thus boosting your espionage point total against that country, but also risking that country's wrath.
Yeah, if you secretly interrogate the prisoner, earning to hope sensitive information from the screenshot, you get 500 grade spy points against that leader, but there's also a 50% chance of suffering a minus one relations hit with that leader. Other events such as bandits wreaking havoc in farmlands, another Civ City took a direct hit from a powerful hurricane, surplused game harvested by hunters has fueled a minor population boom, or a plane goes down and you need to figure out how to take care of it.
Yep, so a lot of stuff in there.
You may have the opportunity to donate food to a neighboring city that suffered a famine.
Yep, another that's event. Another one.
Yes, another opportunity to show your heart in it, or to show the cold shoulder.
What's that? To gain brownie points?
I think if it's Montezuma situation, they just might get the cold shoulder. I don't know.
Or Isabella.
They might steal all the food, too.
This is another event that just kind of struck me as, interesting, kind of potentially harsh, but I could see you possibly going for it. A gladiator from a city has survived many battles in the arena. He's attracting a lot of fans. So the one that's highlighted in the screenshot that will give you 23 gold says, "No one survives forever. Cash in on the phenomenon before he meets the inevitable end." And I thought, ouch. The other option is arrange for him to be matched against easy opponents and see that his legend increases. There's even another one where a miracle is believed to have occurred in the city and pilgrims are flocking to visit this new holy site. So you either say, well, the tourism will enhance city revenue, or my favorite of the options, of which there are two, we should hire and train some of the pilgrims as missionaries.
Yeah.
Costs 30 gold from your treasury, but you can convert up to two of your own cities to a religion that has been identified. So
that can be handy.
Other ones, I won't go through all the particular details, but there's one where you have to deal with a slave revolt. It seemed to be quite a common one based on the screenshots I was seeing.
How many screenshots have you seen? A lot of them.
In the last 24 hours, around 100, I believe.
Yeah, I've been there as well.
Another one that deals with a medicinal tea being cultivated by the locals with an effectiveness to treating illness, but it only grows in a specific region, so you can either establish internal trade with the locals, or you can fund efforts to increase production without endangering the resources that produce them. And really, if you go for that one, in this case, other than the 100 gold, there really isn't much to lose. Plus one happy in the plot, and a 67% chance for plus three health in the city, and one free scientist in the city. About a songwriter from a city composing a heartening ballad. You can just say, "We're glad to see that the local culture is thriving." You can fund the writing of a play that revolves around the ballad to be performed at the local theater. In this case, cost 49 for your treasury, but your city gets 450 culture. And I believe the reason this third option is grayed out is because it doesn't quite apply in the timeline yet, which is see that this artist is given a recording contract.
Does that generate you some hit singles to trade?
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's why it's grayed out, is because it's too early in the game relative to when the screenshot is shown. That's my guess. You may have to spend money to replant a forest that was burned as criminals from one of your cities attempt to escape. Ignoring the problem not only leaves you with one last forest tile, but also temporarily decreases happiness in the affected city.
Yep. Yeah, so you have a choice there. If you have the money, you probably want to repair it.
Yep. There's an economics one. about helping regulating interest rates to help normalize economic growth. And if you fund a Federal Reserve Bank to carry out the new policy, it costs on the screen about 406 gold, but you receive a 40% reduction in inflation.
That's a powerful one.
Mm-hmm. Also, another one that's just kind of, well, it happens, and that's the way it is. Glorious City has added an underground railroad network to its mass transit system, greatly boosting commercial traffic. They say this is a model for the entire world to follow. Great work. It's just kind of happened. And your public transportation improvements get plus 5 happiness.
Hmm. For how long?
Forever.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Hey,
well, I want that event.
But there's a lot of these events, and a lot of them have quite powerful effects. So even if you don't get this one, there's plenty of other ones that you will like.
Yep.
And plenty of others that you won't like. Like slave revolt.
Yes.
Or a hurricane.
Yes. Yes.
The big one.
Yeah, one of the first missions I ever saw about events publicly was about the wedding.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And that's documented in both an IGN and a GameSpot screenshot, where we see an industrial heiress has received a marriage proposal from a prominent business tycoon. Their wedding will occur later this year. So you can either send well wishes and a token wedding gift, send hearty congratulations and a generous wedding gift, or you could announce a national celebration, send an outlandish wedding gift, and donate generously to religious organizations in the name of the newlyweds. And if you do the latter, for only 68 gold, you gain a plus 3 relations boost.
Hmm. Nice.
Of course, plus 3 isn't going to help you much with Montezuma.
Well...
You could be plus 10. He'll still attack you.
Mm-hmm. This is true. I think the best we can go for is going from furious to annoyed.
For a while.
For a while. A lot of these are also, you can see, dependent even on geographical location, which is why this one kind of stuck out in my mind. An artist in the frozen tundra near a city has perfected a means of crafting beautiful ice sculptures. So you can say we are glad to see the local culture is thriving, which is kind of a nice but whatever response. And then this endeavor is worth pursuing. Fund an effort to master this new art form and incorporate it into the local culture. 120 gold gives you plus 1 free great artist in that city.
Ooh.
And I believe the last one here, where they're the only response is, okay, well, it's happened. The city has produced a grandmaster blacksmith who has overseen the expansion and upgrade of the forge to increase its efficiency. So then you say we applaud the accomplishments of our revered Grand Master Blacksmith, and your forge gets plus 1 hammer.
The Slave Revolt one, you mentioned it. A slave revolt has taken place in city name. Crack down on the rebels, put down the revolt, reestablish order, and the result of that is that you temporarily get 1 unhappy, and 1 turn of disorder, and you lose 2 population. Second option is restore order first, then investigate and redress some of the slaves' grievances. We don't know what the results of that are. And the third is we are too busy to be bothered, leave the matter to the local authorities. And then the revolt may continue. So that revolt, if you don't deal with it, it might go on for several turns.
Yep.
Which I guess might explain why it's so common. If people are dealing with it.
Yeah, it keeps popping up.
All the people whipping their cities going, stop it, stop it. Mm-hmm. Not helping any.
Yes, yes.
Who's ever drink that is? Do you have enough for everyone? I mean, I thought I heard
I'm
a drink.
I'm typing. I don't know if that's what you heard.
Oh, I thought it was... No, I'm thinking about...
You thought it was eyes clinking in a glass.
Okay.
He's like, where's mine?
There are a few small things. For example, there have been a few changes in the user interface. Things that have been noticed are that the alerts are now in the top center of the screen instead of to the left. A lot of people seem to like that. The sliders for your science text and your culture text now show the actual values of how much input you're getting. When you hover over a city, it displays the maintenance cost in that city and a number of buildings. It's not quite clear what these buildings represent, but probably either a build queue or the buildings that are in the city. And in the top right corner, you normally only see the year, you now also see the turn and the time. So if it's 4 o'clock in the morning, you'll actually know about it.
Right. I noticed also that the interface for the United Nations seemed a bit more streamlined now. It looked less like a pop-up message and prompt and looked more integrated into the rest. It looked similar to what you get with the Apostolic Palace. It's a very minor thing, but...
There's a lot of minor things like that.
You mentioned the Statue of Zeus and the Wonder back in episode 18. Specifically, 201 hammers, plus 2 great artist points, and plus 10 culture. Which is pretty impressive.
Has anyone watched any gameplay movies?
Yep, I have watched all of them.
Watched them all.
I have not yet.
I guess one thing that we didn't mention is that the Native American music is really cool. I love that one. Other than that, I don't think there was too much in there we haven't mentioned yet.
How come their traits is philosophical and not spiritual?
Because spiritual was already taken.
Yeah, but you're supposed to make traits have some meaning.
Oh, we definitely tried to do all that, but Phyrexis didn't want to use any traits twice, so you do have to play around a little with what actually works. So, yeah, leaders don't always have...
necessary.
Yeah, exactly. You could choose to just repeat some traits, but of course then you have more and more trait combos that don't get used. There's still 2 good trait combos that could get used but aren't, and one that is just so overpowered that's not a good idea. Philosophical Industrious.
I agree.
But so, yeah, Phyrexis wanted to use as many trait combos as possible, and then, yeah, you have to puzzle a little. You don't want to change too many of the existing traits, because that will just confuse people. But you also want to make sure that it makes at least some kind of sense. No one always has the perfect traits, but I think most leaders have at least one trait that makes sense. And I think most of them also have a second trait that makes at least some kind of sense. But yeah, I agree for the Native American sitting bull. Yeah, philosophical might not be the best choice. Yeah, necessary evil, as you say.
And some of the screenshots for very brief moments in the third GameSpot video, person hovers over a guided missile, and in video number 4, hovers over mobile SAM, but not long enough. But I don't know how many times I went back over that video over and over, because it was on the screen for like half a second, and I'd press pause, and it would go right by it, and it was very annoying. I said many bad words.
Okay.
How about the box art?
That was released some time ago.
Yeah, we touched on it a few episodes ago.
It's very red.
Do we have a European release?
Yep. It's pretty much exactly the same.
It's the same.
Yeah. There's some different logos at the bottom, but that's logical. One thing that I noticed, Indians seem to have a couple of new cities on the city list. Vijayanagara, Madurai, and Ahmedabad. And I know that especially... has been whining and for years that the Indian city list is all messed up. So it seems Phyrexis finally took pity on him and made a few changes there. And we've seen a lot of images, a lot of screenshots that show all sorts of ethnically diverse units. And the Asian workers have these big Asian hats. To come up with specific examples, the X-Men look different for a couple of different civs. And we've seen different scouts, so a lot of different archers also, so a lot of units now look different depending on what civ you're playing with, which I think is a really cool little addition as well.
System requirements, I guess, stay the same, right?
Probably. We haven't heard anything. I do think that for some of the scenarios, especially Dale's one, there will be a little bit higher. I'm not sure if they're officially announcing it, but you don't want to play that on minimum requirements, I can tell you.
Also, we talked about the National Park, National Wonder, plus 3 culture, plus 1 great scientist point, removes access to coal from the city, no happiness from population, plus 1 free specialist per forest preserve, and costing 300 hammers.
Have forest preserves been mentioned anywhere else?
No.
Oh, interesting.
Something like a mini environmentalism type of thing to build per city, if you had a city that was bad polluted.
Yeah, apparently.
Hopefully we'll find out that in another preview before the game is released. Or we might just have to find out when we actually play it. Oh, man.
Exactly.
Oh, man, what fun is that? We mentioned with the new units, we mentioned both the addition of privateers and how it'll work similar to the Civ 3 unit, but the AI knows what to do with it. That's a big thing. Plus, it has extra abilities. But also, looking at the CFC chat here, talking about blockades of trade routes and plundering of trade routes is something that a privateer can do. I don't think we've seen a lot on that quite yet.
No. And another thing that we didn't mention is that the mouse cursor has also changed. And if you're now waiting for a turn, it turns into a little globe that spins around. So that's quite interesting.
Okay.
The addition of the espionage screen. A couple of screenshots of that on both IGN and GameSpot where you see each leader and you see, I think it'll show you the number of great spy points accumulated for each, plus it also, that interface, I believe, also shows you, for example, if your great spy points have advanced that far along, you can actually look into their cities and what they're building. And the screenshots themselves, what are mentioned about knowing what technologies they're researching, they appear on screen, again, if you have that, similar to knowing what your vassals would be researching.
Yep.
On the CFC chat, someone asked about, will siege weapons work more like Civ 3? The answer, Alex says no, but they will not be as powerful as they are in Warlords.
Yeah, there was actually some discussion of that. I don't remember where exactly. I think in one of the previews, that they can now only do a limited amount of damage. For example, a catapult might be able to do 75% damage. Well, that's all you can do, and then you have to finish him off with a regular unit. And what's even more interesting, a more advanced siege units can do more damage. So if a catapult can do, say, 75, I don't know the exact value, but then a trebuchet might be able to do 80, and maybe an artillery might be able to do 90 or something like that. So that's a very interesting new addition to Siege Warfare.
My favorite question was, does Leonard Nimoy speak the quotes from the new text? And it's no. Jesse Smith, the producer, was also in the CFC chat. Sorry, Jesse. He said, we recorded Sid for the new ones.
And
there's actually there's already a thread in our Civ 4 forums. Someone said, who should read all the quotes in Civilization 5? I thought, oh boy. That's a little early for that.
I thought Morgan Freeman was quite a good suggestion.
Patrick Stewart.
No.
Yes.
No. No. It's already in my oblivion. Come on. I don't need Patrick Stewart in every other game I play.
On the soundtrack, Christopher Tin did not compose the music for Beyond the Sword, but Firax is still working with. There are music tracks in Beyond the Sword, which is good, because then I'll have some new tracks to use for the intermezzos, as I call them, in between segments. I'm running out. Also in the CFC chat, what about the future of Civ 4 on the Macs? Jesse said that there will eventually be a Mac version of Beyond the Sword. Says it hasn't been contracted yet, but that usually follows pretty close to release. Yes, it does. I think the Warlords release followed a little more closely than vanilla Civ for the Mac followed the vanilla Civ for the PC. But don't worry, Mac heads out there, or whatever you want to call yourselves.
Oh, don't worry. They are too busy with the iPhone, so they don't care.
See ya. Oh, boy, don't get me started.
Don't get me started. I listen to a lot of tech podcasts, and it's all iPhone this, iPhone that. So. I want one just so we can throw it out the window.
We talked about, just in passing, with corporations, what happens with mercantilism and state property in relation to that. But also revealed in the CFC chat by Alex, emancipation now also provides faster cottage growth.
That's going to make it a little bit more interesting.
I guess from the Firaxis Beyond the Sword-centric podcast, Firaxis came out with Episode 5, the first new episode since last October. And did anybody notice what the name of this podcast is? Beyond the Podcast. And I got looks for Beyond the Dozen for Episode 12. So, meh.
Yeah, just because someone else came up with the same bad idea.
Oh, did you hear that, Firaxis? You might get kicked out of Frankenstein now, Water. Good job.
Bring him on.
Got news? Email news at apolton.net or send a private message to Dan Q, Locutus, Illuminatus, Snoopy369, or Grand Patrol via Apolton's forums at apolton.net/forums.
from the Beyond the Sword chat. One of the users asks, are you afraid of overloading the game by adding so many late game units? And Alex says that we added more turns to the game to go with more units. So, everybody breathe.
Welcome to the Senate. In this section, we talk about game strategy.
The state of your units, I'd rather be spending those gold upgrading my units as opposed to building newer ones in order to concentrate on, you know, cultural and scientific improvements, but I would upgrade them in staggering stages. So, for example, horse archers, I wouldn't upgrade them to knights. I'd wait until I could upgrade them to cavalry for offense, and then for defense, I would, however, a shorter-term upgrade, like archers to crossbowmen.
Which...
Again, that's just one way to go about it.
Which explains why you're playing on that level. Because I think pretty much everyone else rather builds new units. So.
Yeah, I was going to ask him about that.
If you have enough money to upgrade your units, you're not doing enough on your science.
They are very costly to upgrade if you have a lot of them.
Well, you could concentrate your upgrades on key ones, like city defense or on border patrol.
No, it's just a lot cheaper to build new units. And keep your science percentage up so high that you don't have to...
have money at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, once you get to the point of having factories, etc. As I've said before, I play on Warlords, so that probably answers that for you.
Peloton University.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We do have that.
If people do want to learn how to play safe better... There is a good way for competitive playing to have other people give you advice. That's the Peloton University.
And we would find that where? Jeez.
Peloton.net
really?
/ forums?
Wow, how could I figure that
out? I don't know.
Peloton University. Sometimes I wonder.
Wow.
It's true. Yeah, we got mail.
And it wasn't spam.
That was the other surprise.
Call in today.
In North America, the number is 301-637-659, 301-637-POLY.
And for Europe, 44-020-7871-7659, 44-020-7871-POLY.
Or you can Skype us at the Polycast.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on the show, including how to write in and how to subscribe to the RSS feed, log on to the official Polycast website at polycast.apolton.net.
Type
more quietly.
Yeah,
damn.
Seriously.
That is nasty.
That's what my freaking keyboard makes, damn it.
The people are the heroes.
More on Night Owl comments from episode 17.
The people are the heroes, now behemoth.
I think someone in the episode before we talked about running mercantilism if you were by yourself.
Yeah, in limited situations it's definitely useful. If you combine all these civics and wonders that he mentions, it might be worthwhile, but like I said, I've never tried it. It might be interesting to play around with sometime.
Maybe he's trying to play a game a different style, but...
Exactly. I'm not sure if it's the strongest way to play, but it's definitely an interesting alternative.
Like I mentioned, I prefer the Vassalage Legal Civic to stick with it, especially on larger maps, and even though I said boo to bureaucracy before, Kenneth would be happy to hear that I might maybe agree to it, kind of, slightly on smaller maps, small empires, but...
Well, I would use free speech, but I would still keep a science percentage fairly high. If you're going for a culture victory, free speech is pretty much a given. You do need that.
Who started it? I think it was. No, I'm not going to speculate because all I can think of are troublemakers. I don't want to give them credit. I don't have to.
Message.
Marcus, it's okay. I'm trying to get hold of you. I'm not sure if it's the right number or not. Perhaps you could give me a ring and confirm this. Yeah, give us a call, your dog. It'd be nice to hear from you. You know I'm lucky with numbers. I always get confused. Anyway,
to the phone right now, but if you leave a message, we'll call you right back.
Hello, is this Cedric?
It is.
Hey, Cedric, you old dog, how are you?
Who's that?
Well, I know you're looking for Martin, but unfortunately you got the wrong number.
Okay.
You phoned yesterday and again today, and I tried to get back to you yesterday, but I think I called you a little late.
Ah, right, good man. You were the one who wanted to phone me. Okay,
I'm sorry about that. You probably wanted to throw your mobile across the room, right?
No, I just wondered it wasn't. I couldn't work out who you could give me a call. But thanks for calling back. So I called the wrong number, didn't I, last night?
Yes, you did. I'm calling from Canada. What you did is you called Polycast, which is the official podcast of a Polton Civilization site. I don't suppose you're a Civilization fan, perchance.
Civilization?
Yeah, a computer game.
No, I don't do computer games, no.
Oh, because, you know, back in February, Clayton called.
Clayton?
This number as well, also looking for Martin.
Clayton, I know Clayton, he's a good friend of mine. Well, yeah, Clayton. No, well. Yeah, I think Martin is a friend of ours in Spain. He lives in Spain. And I've actually managed to ring him this morning, so I'm not quite sure. I wonder if there's a difference in the numbers. But he's a mutual friend of ours who lives in Spain now. Nice job.
Oh, okay. Because I was saying, I hope you actually got a hold of Martin, and I hope Buck Clayton was able to get a hold of Martin.
Yes, I don't know about that, but I showed him how to go over this morning, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, perhaps Martin could call our number now, then we could complete... we could complete the cycle, and I thought not only I'd phone back to let you know that you had the wrong number, but to see if perhaps you were a Civ fan, and then you could tune into our show.
Let me just double check, actually, while you're here. I'll just double check the number I have, because I don't understand how it could have gone. What I have is 7659.
Okay, we have 27871 7659.
Say that again. 24.
27871 7659.
Right, okay, I've got it. I've missed it because mine is. So what happened last night is I missed.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, there's what happened.
That is why I got your number. It's a phone number, except for one. There you go.
That's all right. Our voicemail gets lonely sometimes.
Well, at least we've got one anyway.
Yeah, you see our number ends in 7659, which is Poly, which is short for Polycast. So anyway, next time you're talking to Martin, tell him to give us a ring so I can call him.
I will tell you. He asked you due to ring me back in a minute now. I thought he was going to do it, so I'll tell him. I'll tell you, we're sharing a number with someone in Canada. You don't know, he might be interested in your computer games, I don't know. It might be, I don't know, that's it.
Oh, well, it'd be great to hear from him, because then we can complete this three-part story. Because, you know, as I said, it was Clayton who called, and that was back in February.
Right, okay, yeah. Well, that's my friend, Clayton, actually called me out of the blue 2 days ago, and he was in a dire situation. That's quite a coincidence, really, in a way. But yeah, I will definitely tell him, and they know you share the same numbers, minus one.
No worries. I just wanted to let you know, especially when I got your message this morning saying that you were still looking for him. Because I said, I called last night, then I realized, oh, yeah, the time zone difference.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fine. That's great, actually, because I know it was. I've been wondering that all day, actually, who'd been calling last night. So, yeah, that's cool. No worries. Nice talking to you.
Well, you have a good day there,
thanks,
Cedric. All right.
Thank you, yourself. Nice one, mate. Bye.
Bye-bye. Going through my notes. This is how I go through my notes more quickly.
Yeah, well, I've pretty much exhausted mine by now, so.
I think I might have actually gone through it all between these two episodes. I'm not sure that's possible. Is it possible? Is it really?
It's possible.
There is Beyond the Sword coverage coming, and that's all I'm saying.
No comment.
What? Beyond the Sword Coach? What? I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it is right now. I'm going to post a review that says it's really cool. There you go. I gave it away. Sorry. Sorry about that. So, who's going to do the wrap-up, such as it is?
You.
Oh, seeing as how I did all of 18, but the last time I did it was episode 13, I suppose this will bank me until about episode 25, so, all right.
Don't count on it.
Thank you for listening to Polycast, the official podcast of the Polton Civilization site, episode 19. Two episodes, 2 weeks straight. Wow, we've set a very scary precedent. With me has been Walter Schneiders, known as Locutus on the forums.
Bye.
Yeah. What was that hesitation there for? You want to talk some more?
No, thank you. I've already moved on to the next thing, so he's quite distracted here.
He's back to the prawn.
Oh, that's what's going on. He's already left thinking,
the secret.
Do I work on a Polton? Do I play Beyond the Sword?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, that's a tough one.
Wow. Our server hasn't been down much in the past few years, so there's a couple of hours.
Mackie.
I need a nap.
Next month, File Planet, site on the GameSpy Network, is going to have a Final Frontier specific demo. So we may not be seeing Mackie for a while. Uh oh.
Shiny. Bye.
And Costas, known as Keijin.
Yeah.
And that is a wrap.
Phew.
How are you going to name this one, Dan?
We're so far beyond the sword that we've come back around to the pommel.
Well, I know. Episode 19, and on and, on and on and on and on.
I like it.
That's a good one.
Record date June 23rd, 2007. Soundtrack courtesy Civilization 4 and its Warlords expansion pack. Beyond the Podcast Lips copyright for Axis Games. Copyright 2007, a Polton Civilization site at apolton.net.